going soul winning for God. I'm thankful for those things. But I am not proud of anything. Because pride is nothing more than sin, ladies and gentlemen. And you'll see what the Bible says here. This is so ingrained in our culture so much that everybody is proud about something. They say, be proud of yourself. Are you proud that you're a sinner? Huh? Can you state forcefully, I'm proud that I'm a sinner? I mean, the lost people are doing that. They have no qualms about that. But we're proud. They say, well, take pride in your work. Be proud about who you are. Be proud for your family. Be proud for your children. Be proud for your heritage, you know. Greeks are very proud people, you know. That's why they've been destroyed, amen. And by the way, that's why America's being destroyed, because of her pride. You know, we have black power, white power, Spanish power, Latino power. Everybody's proud about everything, amen. You read these verses with your God-given eyeball, there is nothing good about anything that has anything associated with pride. Nothing. As a matter of fact, it's a reflection of how wicked we really are. The Bible says the heart is deceitful and wicked above all things. Who can know it? Take a Bible, please, and turn with me to Proverbs 29. Proverbs chapter 29. There's absolutely nothing good about pride in the Bible. Proverbs 29. This will be a Bible study this morning. Maybe not in order, but Proverbs chapter 29. I think a good springboard verse to jump off here. Proverbs 29, verse number 25. Proverbs 29, verse 25. The Bible says, the fear of man bringeth the reason are not willing to go 100% for God is because we are afraid of what people are going to say about us. We are fearful of what our friends and our associates are going to think about us. If we totally sold out for God, we would not be able to associate with the people that we're associating with. By the way, that's not just secular wise, that's religious wise. Amen. You go ahead and preach what I preached for the last 10, 20, 25 years, and you'll see how lonely you can get by yourself in the religious realm. Amen. Yeah. You stand for God, and you teach and preach some things that are not popular today, and you'll find how by yourself you'll be in a corner. Amen. I want you to know something. The fear of man bringeth a snare. The reason you're not willing to sacrifice for God is because somebody's going to say, you don't do that? You don't go there anymore? The reason you're not willing to change your dress is because people are going to notice it right away. Yeah, that's why. If you could conform because everybody else was doing it, there'd be no problem. But it's hard to be a non-conformist today because most people don't have character and backbone to do it. Because we're afraid what people are going to say. What are people in my family going to say? What are people in my work going to say? What are people in my church going to say? So the fear of man bringeth the snare. Look at this. But whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be saved. My Bible says that Satan is the king over all the children of pride in Job 41, verse 34. That means when you, because of your pride, do not want to associate fully with the Word of God and Jesus Christ, you are now under the banner of Satan. How can that be, Pastor? Well, just like Jesus told Peter, get thee behind me. Huh. Who's he talking to? He's talking to Peter. Because Peter, in his own mind, didn't want anything to happen to Jesus. But Jesus said, this is why I came for, Peter. This is what I'm here for, Simon. I came to die. I was born to die. Peter said, no, I want to protect you, Jesus, because I love you. You know what that is? That's pride. That's not doing God's will, that's doing your will. And how many times we've done our own will through our pride and suffer the consequences of that. Take your Bible, please, and turn with me to let's say in Proverbs. Your Proverbs chapter number 8, please. Take your Bible, turn to Proverbs chapter number 8. Proverbs chapter number 8. And verse number 3. Yes, sir.
No, I don't. It's not important. Sorry, I'm not done.
Okay. Proverbs chapter number 8. Verse number 13. The fear of the Lord is to hate what? Evil, and here's evil. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. Now, I know what they're teaching you in public school, and I know what they're teaching in the world today. They ought to be proud of yourself, take pride in your work. Instead of, listen to me good, giving God the glory, we have now become gods because we want to tell everybody how good we are, don't we? We want to show, we want to impress people with how smart we are and how good we are and how hard we work and look what I've accomplished and look at my life and take pride in your life. I got news for you about what God says about the pride of life in the Bible, ladies and gentlemen. Huh? These are not good things. And the thing is, we've swallowed this, and God's people become proud instead of being humble people. Now, let me just say this once. Just because you're not supposed to be proud and you're supposed to be humble does not mean that you shouldn't stand up and tell the truth. Amen. Take your Bible, please, and take with me. Well, let's stay with Proverbs here, chapter number 11. Proverbs chapter number 11 and verse number 2. Proverbs chapter number 11, verse number 2. When pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom. Verse number, chapter number 13, verse number 10. This is another exclusive verse in the Bible that sort of knocks out all the other verses and limits and puts this one at the cream of the crop as for all the problems, why we have these problems. Look what it says here. Proverbs chapter 13, verse number 10. Only by pride cometh contention. Did you read that? Only by pride. It's almost like saying the love of money is the root of all evil. It excludes all the other reasons. So the only reason we have contention anywhere is because of pride. Somebody's not willing to humble themselves. Somebody's not willing to lower themselves and to apologize. Someone's not willing to seek forgiveness. Someone doesn't want reconciliation. The only reason you have contention in your marriage is because of pride. The only reason there's contention in church is because of pride. The only reason there's contention in the country is because of pride. The only reason, only by pride cometh contention. Take your Bible and look at Proverbs chapter number 16. Proverbs chapter number 16. Verse number 18. Pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall. Take your Bible, turn to Proverbs chapter 29. Proverbs 29. Verse 23, a man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. Proverbs 28, verse 25, he that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife, but he that putteth his trust in the Lord shall be made fat. Proverbs 21, verse number 4. And high look and a proud heart and the plowing of the wicked is sin. Proverbs chapter number 16, verse number 19. Better it is to be of an humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. Verse number 5. For everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. I mean, you can't get any more clear verses than the ones we just read. And those are just verses in the book of Proverbs, ladies and gentlemen. Take your Bible, please, and turn with me to 1 Samuel, chapter number 17. Now, you remember the story of David and Goliath. Probably one of the most famous stories in the Bible, 1 Samuel 17. I love the story of the underdog, don't you? I love when the favored team loses, amen? I love when the king is tossed out, amen? I just love it when there's an insurrection. I love it when there's a right rebellion, amen? I like it when the arrogant that are ruling are dethroned. I just enjoy seeing it, amen? 1 Samuel chapter number 17. Now, you know the story. Saul is
on the front lines with the Philistines fighting against their enemy. And they got this Goliath giant there, and all the Israelites are afraid. They're trembling. David hears about the battle. He's minding the sheep back home. And we pick up the verse in verse number, his dad tells him to go feed his brothers on the front line. And David gets to the front line, and he says in verse number, let's pick it up in verse number 21. Well, 20. And David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with a keeper and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host was going forth to the fight and shouted for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage and ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words. And David heard them. Give me a man to fight, he was saying. Verse 24. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, have you seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up. And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered him after this manner, saying, so shall it be done to the man that killeth him. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? Here's what David's brother said to David. I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. So here is the fearful brother who's afraid to go against Goliath, ridiculing his brother who asked the question, what's going on here, fellas? How come somebody hasn't killed this fellow yet? And his brother says to David, you know what? We all know how proud you are, David. And you know who David, you know who God used to win the battle, right? David. That's the same story that we have in church today. Because as soon as somebody steps out of the box and starts preaching and teaching what God says in the Word of God, that person is labeled as proud by the brethren. Oh, you're just a troublemaker by the brethren. Oh, you're just trying to cause problems by the brethren. I tell you that our colleges and our churches are filled with proud pulpiteers and not God's men. Because God's men would preach forth the Word of God and not care who's left in the pews after you're preaching. God's men would not care how much money comes in the coffering so it covers my parsonage and my salary and my retirement fund. God's men would not care how many people are left after the dust settles. God's men wouldn't care what the heathen think. God's men wouldn't care what the backslidden brethren think. God's men wouldn't care what the world thinks. God's people would say, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? And he got himself a slingshot, amen, a sling and five stones. You know why? Because Goliath broke the rules. Goliath used God's name in vain and cursed God. And David, reading the Psalms or the law while he's watching those sheep, knew that the penalty for using God's name in vain and cursing God was a death penalty. So, David, here's a problem. Most of us are together, and we're allowing our togetherness and our fellowship having more influence over us than being by ourselves with the Word of God and letting God influence us. David was all by himself reading the Word of God, amen? Everybody else was supposedly on the front line having a fellowship party. They weren't going soul winning. They weren't fighting a battle. They had no courage, but they all felt good being on the front line together because we're together. We love fellowship, don't we? We love chit-chatting, don't we? We love gossiping, don't we? We like getting together, don't we? What God's people don't like doing is going soul winning by yourself, amen? What God's people don't like doing is standing by themselves, amen? But that's what God's looking for, ladies and gentlemen. Are you willing to stand by yourself, or do you need a crowd to feel comfortable in? The fear of man bringeth a snare. The fear of man. Who are we afraid today? Do we have the fear of God in us, or do we have the fear of man in us? Take your Bible, turn to John chapter number 12, please. John chapter number 12. Churches are filled with people like David's eldest brother, Eliab. They look like the world, they talk like the world, they dress like the world, they think like the world, and they're like the world. You can't tell them apart at all. They got a rock and roll band in church. They got the drum beat in church. John chapter number 12. John chapter number 12. They're living lives of vanity. John chapter number 12 and verse number... Oh, let's start in verse number 41. These things said Isaiah when he saw his glory and spake of him. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also, many believed on him. They got saved. They believed on Jesus Christ. You could try to reason that verse to be something different than you want it to be, but I'm telling you, they got saved. They believed on Jesus Christ. But watch what happens. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him lest they should be put out of the synagogue. Huh. Because of man's advantage. The love of money is the root of all evil. The fear of man bringeth a snare. It was good for them to trust Jesus Christ because now I'm a child of God. Now I'm born again. Now I'm going to heaven. Glory be to God. But you know, you still want to have that one foot in the world so everybody doesn't mock you and make fun of you and criticize you. So you don't get scorned and hated by the world. You don't mind being like Demas, but you sure don't want to be like the Apostle John, who wrote the Revelation on the island of Patmos because he was exiled for the Word of God. You don't mind being like the ones who forsook God, but you don't mind being like the ones who compromised and sold out for God. And that's what we have today. We have people who are saved. We have people who have trusted Jesus Christ to be their Savior. But they still want that foot in the world, so people will like them, and people will think that they're normal, and people won't think that they're out of step with anybody, and people will think highly of them. So these rulers who got saved, believed on Jesus Christ, because of the Pharisees, the religious leaders, the scholars and professors and chancellors of Bible colleges and pastors and missionaries and ministers and reverends, because of the Pharisees, the religious rulers, they did not confess him lest they should be put out of the synagogue. That's what we have in America. We don't want to be known. Oh, I don't think you have to be baptized in water. The only reason you don't believe that is because you grew up in a church that didn't teach that, and you don't want to stand out like a sore thumb to your friends who grew up thinking that it's all right just to be sprinkled as a baby, amen? Right. My Bible says in Acts 7 number 8, they went in the water, amen? They came up out of the water, amen? Baptism is by immersion all through the Bible. And the reason people don't want to get baptized in a Baptist church, I'm telling you, is because of pride. They're afraid what people are going to say. Look, I know what happened when I left my old church, lighting my candles and the following the robes of the priests. I know what they said. I know what they're telling you. It's a hard break, ladies and gentlemen. But thank God I broke it, amen. And thank God I walked away, amen. I said, they can say anything they want. They can laugh at anything they want. They can mock anything they want. But I'm telling you, 36 years later, I'm thankful to God that I walked away, amen. The fear of man will keep you there, though. And the fear of man will try to make you reform that old dying institution that was not even God's church anyway, but they'll want to keep you. Say, well, just try to straighten it out. Try to bring the Bible into it and try to make it better.
You can't make anything that's dying better, ladies and gentlemen. You need new life, amen. You need to be, those people need to be born again.
Take your Bible, please, and turn with me to 2 Chronicles 32. 2 Chronicles 32. We have an epidemic in this country, an epidemic with pride with God's people. 2 Chronicles, chapter number 32. Hezekiah was a great man. Hezekiah was used of God. Hezekiah was a godly man. But as it happened to Solomon, who was the wisest man, then became the foolish man, it can happen to you and I too. Just because you're saved doesn't mean you're being blessed of God and you're living right. And Hezekiah was being used of God. He was being blessed of God. And Hezekiah was a blessing. But then you know what happens? It gets to your head, doesn't it? And you think you're pretty hot. You think you're pretty good. You think you're pretty smart, don't you? And we forget that the Bible says, if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. We forget that the Bible says for us not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. But yet we think we're pretty good sometimes, don't we? We start patting ourselves on the back, you know, and say, man, look how good I am. Look what I've done. Look what I'm doing. Look what I've accomplished. Look what I am going to do. Man, this is great. Yeah, it got to Hezekiah too. 2 Chronicles 32, verse number 24. In those days, Hezekiah was sick to the death. And prayed unto the Lord, and he spake unto him, and he gave him a sign. But Hezekiah rendered not again according to the benefit done unto him. For his heart was lifted up. Therefore there was wrath upon him and upon Judah and Jerusalem. Notwithstanding, Hezekiah humbled himself for the pride of his heart, both he and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so that the wrath of the Lord came not upon them in the days of Hezekiah. It's interesting because when a ruler gets pride, the people follow behind with pride. And that's what we have today in our country and in our churches. Most people are filled with pride. They only take the position, they take a position because of, look how good I am. Look how high I've attained. My Bible says in Ezekiel 16, let's read it, Ezekiel chapter 16. It's good to read these verses. Ezekiel chapter number 16. Verse number 49. And here's a reason why we have the Ezekiel chapter 16. Here's the reason why we have the problem in America. Verse number 49. Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom, pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy, and they were haughty and committed abomination before me. Therefore I took them away as I saw good. You think the problem with America is the Sodomites are running rampant? No, that's a direct result of the pride of America from the 40s and 50s and 60s, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, look what it says. If this is not a perfect picture of America, verse 49. This was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. God's calling Israel and Jerusalem Sodom. Pride. Number one, fullness of bread. Huh. Looks like America's pretty full, don't you think? The most obese country in the world. The most overweight country in the world. You know why? Pride. Watch this. An abundance of idleness was in her. I just read headline last week. There are more people in America on disability than 10.7 million people that live in Greece. That's a record number. We have more people on food stamps and welfare and disability living off the dole, listen to me good, than any time in the recorded history of America. Twiddling our thumbs online, drinking our beer at the expense of people who are working. You know what that is? Pride. Pride. This country has fallen apart because of pride. And I'm telling you, your life will fall apart because of pride. But God knows exactly which pin to pull out. And just at the right time, pop your balloon, ladies and gentlemen. And you're going to see everything deflated in your life. And you're going to realize how much egg you have on your face at the time when you realize how much you boasted to everybody how good you are. When you boasted everybody how much you've accomplished. When you boasted everybody, look what I'm doing. And God's going to pop that balloon, man. And take all the air out of your balloon. Instead of giving God the glory and telling everybody else how good God's been to you, amen. Because if you tell everybody how good God's been to you, it doesn't matter whether you have money or don't have money. If you tell everybody how good God's been to you, it doesn't matter if you have health or don't have good health. If you tell everybody nonstop, continuously how good God is, then it doesn't matter on what you are doing, what you have accomplished, or what you plan on doing. My Bible says, this shall they have for their pride, because they have reproached and magnified themselves against the people of the Lord. The Lord will be terrible unto them. Zephaniah 2:10 and 11. My Bible says in Obadiah chapter number 3, the pride of thine heart hath deceived thee. You know why people don't like going to old-fashioned churches? Because of pride. You know why people don't preach on street corners anymore? Because of pride. You know why people don't hand out gospel tracts on street corners anymore? Because of pride. They're afraid somebody that they know is going to see them and, oh, what are they going to think about me? The fear of man bringeth a snare. It affects every area of our lives. 1 John chapter number 2, please. 1 John chapter number 2. My Bible says the Lord shall cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaketh proud things. My Bible says, blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. And by the way, that's why people lie, because of pride. Yeah. 1 John chapter number 2. 1 John chapter number 2, verse number 15 and 16. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes, watch this, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. So because we're not willing to humble ourselves, we're willing to ruin and destroy our families because of our pride. No one's going to tell me what to do. Yeah. How many times you heard children talk about their fathers and say, yeah, my dad told that preacher man off. Yeah, look at that father's family about 10 or 20, 30 years later and see what happened to him. Hello. Yeah. Yeah, you heard women say, yeah, that preacher ain't going to talk to me that way. You follow that woman's family 20, 30, 40 years later, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. Because pride will not make you give in to God. Pride will make you stand up and say, oh no, I don't have to do that. Who do you think I am? You think I'm a slave? Well, we ought to be servants for Jesus Christ. And the word servant is the word slave, ladies and gentlemen. What's wrong with being a slave for Jesus Christ? Are you embarrassed? You don't want people to know that you love Jesus Christ supremely? You don't want people to know that Jesus Christ has preeminence in your life? You don't want people to know that? Your pride. My Bible says in Psalm 119, verse 21, thou hast rebuked the proud that are cursed which do err. My Bible says in Psalm 101, verse number 5, him that hath an high look and a proud heart will not I suffer. You know, a proud walk, a proud look, you know, high brow. They got their nose up in the air. They look at people down. They look their nose down at people like that. You know what I'm talking about. They're so proud, they didn't even realize how proud they are. They go like this. They look at people like that, you know, like they're better than everybody. A proud walk. You know, you've seen people walk. Why can't you walk normal? Amen. I'll tell you why. Because you want to show off on the street. You want to beep up down the street like a turkey showing off their feathers, you know,
like a peacock showing the feathers off. You want to gallivant down the street, and you want everybody to watch you dancing to your iPod when you're going down the street, you know? That's nothing but pride. You want to show off. That's the difference between what God's people ought to be. We ought to be humble people, servants of God, not proud people of the world. Take your Bible, turn to Isaiah chapter number 5. I'm sorry, Isaiah chapter number 3. Isaiah chapter number 3. My Bible says in James 4, 6 that God resisteth the proud. My Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 5, God resisteth the proud. But you want to be proud. You want to have pride. Isaiah chapter number 3. If this is not perfect of the times that we live in, I don't know what else is. Verse number 1, for behold, the Lord of hosts, doth take away from Jerusalem and from Judah the stay and the staff, the whole stay of bread and the whole stay of water, the mighty man and the man of war, the judge and the prophet and the prudent and the ancient. God's taking that away from us. Did you ever notice that's happened to America? Verse number 3, the captain of 50 and the honorable man and the counselor. I mean, we're raising people up who are terrorists to sainthood status now. Everybody thinks that the Pope's a great man. Everybody thinks that Mandela's a great man. Do you realize that Martin Luther King Jr., that's a false name, by the way, did not believe in the virgin birth of Jesus Christ? Do you realize that? He did not believe the Bible's the Word of God. You know what's doomed Greek people? I'm Greek, I'm telling you. You know what's doomed Greek people? The Greek philosophers. Everybody wants to quote Socrates and Plato. Socrates, a sodomite, committed suicide, who said, know thyself. And that's what our public schools are teaching. Know how wicked your foolish heart is. And follow your heart, they're teaching you. Yeah. That pride will destroy a nation, it'll destroy you. Isaiah chapter 3, look at this. This is what God's taking away. The captain of 50, and the honorable man, the counselor, and the cunning artificer, and the eloquent orator, and I will give, watch this, children to be their princes, and babes shall rule over them. And the people shall be oppressed, every one by another, every one by his neighbor. The child shall behave himself proudly against the ancient, and the base against the honorable. Now, you have parents that are afraid to discipline their children, because they're going to call the Department of Social Services or child protection. Blessed be God, I'd rather spend 20 years in prison, amen? But we're afraid because children are being taught, it's all about them. Take pride in yourself. No one should be able to touch you. If your parent touches you and spanks you and disciplines you, make sure you call your counselor. Make sure you call your school. Make sure you call your teacher. Make sure you call the authorities. And children today, the children, the babies, are becoming proud. They talk back to their parents. They roll their eyes. They put their hands on their hips. And they go, yeah. They need to be smacked with a backhand right across the face. By the way, just like your grandparents used to do to your parents too, by the way. Yeah. If my mom was alive, she'd be spending the rest of her life in prison for the way she spanked me, amen. Thank God I had a mom who cared about me and loved me, amen. Huh? Yeah, thank God she didn't care what the English laws in this country said about disciplining your children. But you're concerned. Because, you know, what are your neighbors going to think? What are your coworkers going to say? That's pride. That's fear of man. Yeah. It affects every area of your life. I'm not against education. I think education is good. I think you ought to get some education. I think you ought to get a degree if you can. But education minus salvation equals damnation. And all you want is a piece of paper to show somebody that you went to school and you graduated and you're educated now. That's nothing but pride. That's all it is, just pride. You know how many people went to college, got a degree, and can't get a job for what they went to school for? They're flipping. I'm not against flipping burgers or washing floors, but they got college degrees or flipping burgers. And the only reason they went to school was for pride, to prove to somebody that they could do it.
The child shall behave himself proudly against the ancient.
Yeah.
So, I don't need no preacher telling me what's wrong or what's right. I don't need no preacher preaching against sin. Sure you don't. That's nothing but pride. That's why we're easily offended today. That's why our feelings are so easily hurt. Nobody cares about truth no more. Our customs and our traditions trump the King James Bible nowadays. No, there's no foundation or basis for most of our customs and our traditions, but they're more important than the Word of God. And so when the preacher preaches on this kind of stuff, he's labeled as proud. Jealousy is nothing more than pride. Being envious and coveting what others have is nothing more than pride, wanting what others have. The reason you're easily angered is only because of pride. The reason you're so selfish is because of pride. The reason you boast so much is because of pride. The reason you lie to impress people is because of pride. Because you think of yourself, the reason you think of yourself more than other things or other people or God is because of pride. And so we have an epidemic of pride in our churches today. Take your Bible, please, and turn with me to Philippians chapter number 2. Philippians chapter number 2. My Bible says the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Ecclesiastes chapter number 7. Philippians chapter number 2. We're more impressed with our buildings, our multi-million dollar buildings, our mega churches, stained glass windows, parking lots. How much money is in the coffers? Yeah. We're not concerned about getting the gospel to everybody. We're not concerned about going soul winning or preaching on street corners. Philippians chapter number 2, verse number 3. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. All right, let's see what Jesus was thinking about. Let's see what was his mind, so that we can have the same thing in our mind. Verse 6. Who? This is God Almighty in the flesh now. Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. You are more concerned about your reputation than about doing right, aren't you? You're more concerned what people think about you or say about you. I'm telling you, you can't see the next 10, 20, 30 years. You're going to be destroyed because of your pride. You don't want to give in to God. You don't want to humble to God. Made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. How's your humility? How's your pride today? Pride comes from not living for God. Pride steals the glory of God and proclaims it solely to man. Pride is a result of rebelling against your authority. That's why children are rebelling today, because of their pride. That's why we have a rebellion of women in this country
and wives rebelling against their husbands. And that's why we have a rebellion of men against God today who love their sports and love their beer and love their pleasure and love everything else as perverted instead of God. For a child of God, pride results from not praying, no Bible reading, and not being concerned for the lost going to hell. For a child of God, pride is turning away from old-fashioned preaching on sin. And that's why the majority today is flocking to the proud, to the megachurches. But my Bible says that Jesus humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Sound like John the Baptist to me, not the 2013 Christian. Sounds like the Daniel thrown in the lion's den, not the Christian or believer in 2013. Sounds like the three Hebrew boys thrown in the fiery furnace, not the average believer in 2013. We're more concerned with what other people think about us. The fear of man bringeth a snare. They believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they would not confess him openly. Oh, I believe in Jesus. Well, then live like it. Then think like it. Then act like it. Then talk like it. Dress like it. And have a music that's like it. For if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. Let's pray. Let's all stand.